Elliot.
Hello.
You have a new place.
I have a new place. As you can see, the back wall is very bare. I currently don't have a dryer, so I'm drying clothes in here.
Yeah, but you have a magazine. I see it.
I do have a magazine. Hang on, I can grab one.
Oh my god, you have so many of them. Why do you have so many?
Well, I gave one to my parents. I'm going to give one to some other people. I've got some to send to other people who've asked for them. One to keep for myself, obviously.
This is my magazine. I don't have it.
Yeah. Well, we kept 500 odd, I think.
I have posters. The Inferno poster is still here. My room around last week, and it was a fucking mess. My Inferno poster is still here. My Vertigo one
Here's my poster. It's on the back. It's on the back of the TLDR mag.
So for like a year and a half since I've been sent this, I haven't had a place to hang it up. So it has just stood leaning against the wall on my floor. And
amazing.
Slowly but surely, I have like lost the cardboard caps to the side of it. So like that's the only corner left with a cap now. And it just leans against my wall until I find a better place to put it.
I do want to get one of those, and I also want to get one of the Wheezy T prints.
The Wheezy T prints. I've got
Nickel of TLDR and ESL Impact. He's apparently making me a picture to go on the wall as well. I don't know what that's going to look like.
I got some stuff. In addition, in my room redoing, I got a picture frame shelf. So it's just like a shelf that you put a picture frame on. And I have two graded comic books that like I've owned for a year and a half or so. I have a Superman one and an Iron Man one. But in between the two of them, and I will send you a picture of this, and I'll make sure that this gets put in the video on, is a copy of Counter-Strike that I owned from the original Xbox.
Oh, yes, I've seen this. Yeah, you've sent me this. Yeah.
It's great. It's fucking hilarious. It's just like two of the best comics like ever made, and then in the middle, the best game ever made.
I've got just like cool shit hanging around. I've got a signed North shirt I want to frame and put on the wall.
That's good. I have my people have probably seen my Automata hat, which is like the logo for the esports stuff that I do separately that Jack designed for me. The hat has hung above my desk for a while, but I finally got a jersey in, and it's like a baseball style jersey that buttons up in the middle, and I got to get that hung on a wall somewhere too.
Hell yeah. I bought some coasters. I have no coasters, obviously. I just completely bought a new house. So I bought some coasters that are just album covers, which is a really cool idea.
That's a good idea. My old apartment used to have record coasters, like little records.
Yeah, I've seen those before, yeah.
Those belong to a former TLDR on Valorant writer. Let's see.
You can get like the bowls that are vinyls as well, right?
I think so.
Have you seen those?
These weren't like actual pieces of vinyl, though. They just like looked like it.
No, of course not.
I see. Now, I have the most standard cork coaster known to humankind that I switch out every couple of months because it gets really bad rings on it.
I bought my dad some like, the beer mat coasters, but they're not real beer. They're stylized in football player names.
Okay.
They're really cool.
Nice. That's really nice. I've got some more interesting weird shit, but it's coming soon.
Yeah.
I will show it when it comes in the mail. Because I think I've talked about it, I think, in TLDR Discord before, but I don't think I've really showed it.
One of the coolest things you've ever sent was the Exodia keyboard.
I have that. I just don't use it.
Hell yeah. I would use it.
Well, I like my custom that I have here. I have it because I'm going to use it, but I don't know where yet. Shall we start with the major?
The what?
I guess let's talk about Counter-Strike for a minute. Roll the intro.
What's that?
Welcome everyone to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the big stories in CS2. Welcome back. We now have an Elliot that doesn't sound like me 3 seconds after I said something.
Should I like artificially put in an
echo? Delay?
Should I just sort of artificially wait 3 seconds before I answer any of your questions?
Oh, God, please no. We learned some stuff from the from the Elliot goes away experience this time. Remember to bring headphones was our main.
Remember to bring headphones and try and get a hotel with a Wi-Fi that works. Right. It was it was a whirlwind time. It was I fucking move house. I wrote a magazine. Like I've been very busy.
Which, speaking of which, we talked about the magazine before. Just it's on sale on the TLDR website until Monday. And we're just not selling them past that point anymore because literally we don't make money on these. And
no,
Jacob, who is the one with all the magazines, has to hand pack and ship all of them and then do all the accounting stuff for them.
It's also from Denmark, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna sneeze in about 5 seconds. So just be aware of that. You might have to avert your ears. He's doing them from Denmark, which does mean there is significant shipping fees some places. I have a few copies here. Sam Animo also has like 5 or 6, but I think he's found places to give them to. I've got a few people I need to give them to. There might be a way I can get 1 or 2 to people, but
yeah, they're still on the website, and we're just go buy one if you want one. They're really cool. Supposedly, I've been told they're really cool.
It is really cool. It feels like a real magazine.
I've read the whole thing. I helped copy edit it, but like, I know what's in there. Cool. I haven't. All right, let's talk about the major. So let's start with the fact that we did our little playoff predictions, and I'm gonna be very honest. I go by what I've said, and my predictions into Counter-Strike were the same predictions that I said on the podcast.
Yeah,
that was a poor decision.
I don't know. Even in retrospect, I still wouldn't be voting for.
No,
I still wouldn't have ever had a Na'Vi winning the whole thing. I'm still a little bit baffled as to how that happened.
So I guess let's start from the beginning ish and go through it. So we hit playoffs, Cloud9 Vitality, Spirit FaZe, Eternal Fire Na'Vi, Mouse G2. You and I had said that Spirit would absolutely make the finals, and you said they would be up against Eternal Fire, and I said they were going to be up against Mouse. Now, all three of our predictors lost in the opening round.
That is poor from us.
Yeah, though we did kind of call the Kerrigan Denmark stage buff.
I believe I said if anyone can beat Spirit, it's FaZe. But also, I think it is worth noting that Spirit were very ill; like they did not practice. They were not very well. I think like 2 or 3 of their players were not well. They barely practiced before that, like between the group stage and the playoffs. Obviously, it's not an excuse, but it sort of is an excuse. You know what I mean, it's like, oh, you're making excuses for losing at the top levels. Like, yeah, but also, you didn't practice is a bit of a problem. Like, it's not great.
Okay, I need to make a sidebar here because I know you follow League of Legends, and I just
not as much as I used to. I did.
Okay, so this is a sidebar, but I think it's the funniest shit. Faker came out today. T1 lost to Hama Life in the LCK this morning. This morning, my time, I guess. Also this morning, your time. But they lost this morning, and Faker went up on the stage, not on the stage, but in like the press conference, and basically bitched that like, hey, we can't practice right now. We can't even solo queue because apparently they get so badly DDoSed that they just literally cannot play the game.
Yeah.
And I find that to be A, terrible, don't DDoS teams, but B, the funniest shit.
Yeah, they got DDoSed by CSGO Empire.
Do we want to talk about that now, or do we want to talk about the major, and then we can talk about
it? I don't want to talk about it at all, okay. To be honest. Fuck off.
I'm in.
I do have a very good anecdote about them.
Okay, I'm ready. Give me your anecdote.
So when we were handing out the magazine outside the arena,
we're going to point to it every time that we mention.
So we were handing out magazines. We spoke to the security guard. He was like, "Yeah, you're fine. Whatever you like, whatever." And then the CSGO Empire guy stood about 5 yards in front of us, handing out leaflets because they were just about off the grounds of the arena. We were inside them because we're good boys and we're allowed to be. And we spoke to the security guard, and he's like, "Yeah, well, we can't stop them because they're not on our not on our grounds. Understandable. But we keep getting people who would walk past and either like ask us, are you part of them? And if we say, and when we say no, that we would give them a magazine. Or like, we had some Danish guy who told us to fuck off because I think he, because he maybe really hates magazines, but I think he thought we were part of CSGO Empire. But like at one point, one of the CSGO Empires was like taking a picture of me saying, like giving away magazines. I'm like, am I about to get like whacked? But yeah,
was that pre or post incident?
Yeah. But the good bit was they were trying to set up like a big sign. It was like the CSGO role is partnered with G2 or whatever. And they, you know, they're a little bit, they're all about 13 years old. So they couldn't figure out how to put the sign up. And the security guard turns to me and he goes, I really wish just one of the bits of this would come onto our land so that we could officially throw it away. And then the next like lot of people came in and the security guard shouts at them and goes, yo, can some of you like grab the CSGO Empire's things and throw them on here so I can officially get rid of them without it being a problem? And so a bunch of fans was like, yeah, fuck these guys. Because this was after they'd run on the stage.
After the incident.
So they're like, yeah, fuck these guys. And grabbed all their stuff, threw it onto the land and then helped the security guard carry it away.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so good. He was really cool, that security guard.
The Counter-Strike fans just truly understand what needs to be done.
Yeah, if they hadn't run on the stage, I don't think anyone would have cared, but
they fucked with the wrong event.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about matches for a minute. We'll start Vitality Cloud9. We had talked ahead that this should be a Vitality thing, that we were basically concerned that, hey, Boomich has gotten this far playing op, but you're about to go up against the best opper playing the game right now, and that makes it really hard. It was very hard for Cloud9.
It was, but it sort of wasn't really that much to do with Boomich versus
Cloud9. No, it wasn't.
To do with the fact of Cloud9's riflers just kind of shit the bed as well. Like, they all just shit the bed.
Where have we heard that story before?
Well, not quite. I don't know. Like, Axile, kind of mediocre at the moment. Electronic's not the same player. This is, like, while it is large portions of the Cloud9 team that won the major, it's, like, missing the two best bits of the Cloud9 team. Navi roster that won the major. At that major was insane. Also, incidentally, very, very good at this one.
I was going to say, a bit that majors is very, very good.
And Simple, obviously. Like, Simple and Bit, like, which was peak Bit at the time, to Hobbit and Axile is just such a massive downgrade. It's like, of course this team isn't going to win.
Yeah, I think, like, looking at the paper ahead of time, you could have gone, yeah, no, Simple to either of those two is massive downgrade. But I think at the time, we kind of were on a little copium and we're like, hey, maybe a Bit to Axile isn't the worst thing. Maybe that's not that bad. Nope, that was nope.
But also, people were more excited for this team when it was Shiro on it.
Yeah. You mean when they had an opera?
Can be good. Well, quite.
So Vitality win that 2-0. We talked about Spirit Phase a little bit to start. How we had talked ahead of time that basically Phase were going to be the only team that could beat Spirit.
Yeah.
They did.
I still think they're probably the only team that would have beaten Spirit. I actually think Spirit probably would have beaten Na'Vi.
I was going to say, I think if it was a Spirit-Na'Vi finals, I think it probably goes to Spirit.
Yeah, I just think if Spirit could win their quarterfinal, they'd probably just go on to win it, but not the way it worked out. I would also like to say that Team Spirit had Wonderful and cut in for Art Frost, who they then cut for Shiro. I don't know about you. Probably rather have Wonderful than either of them.
I think the at the end of the day, the math kind of is okay between Wonderful and Shiro.
It is.
Like, I think the math is kind of equivalent there. I think your only, like, problem is, like, Shiro is a couple years older than Wonderful is. But, like,
yeah, it's not by much, right?
I think you're probably, it's like 6-1, half dozen the other. Like,
yeah.
I think the Artfrost thing, that's definitely a, like, if they didn't move on from Artfrost to Shiro, we'd be having a very different conversation here. But I think,
yeah, I don't know, man. Wonderful's just, he's just very, very good. He's a very, very good Counter-Strike player.
I agree. But I also think Shiro is a very, very good Counter-Strike player, and I don't think Shiro has been the reason they've been losing.
No, I mean, if you want to talk the reason they were losing, it's because Zhontix just name it head high.
Well, neither does Chopper, but that apparently has never stopped him.
Chopper at least flicks up.
All right, Eternal Fire Na'Vi. This was heartbreaking to watch, man.
Yeah, that one sucked.
Like, so two maps, right? Mirage and Inferno. Xantaris just didn't show up on Mirage until he gets this miraculous 3K, and then he didn't show up after that either.
Yeah, they started really slow, and then they actually mounted a comeback, but it was a little bit too late.
And
it's one of those games where the momentum just seemed to get, like, the momentum and the stage nerf seemed to get away from them, and then once they settled, they were like, oh yeah, no, we do deserve to be here. But
Madger was kind of got away from very, very good.
Yeah. He was putting himself in a lot of lurk spots, which he was getting impact from, so it's fine, but it's like, mm-hmm. He wasn't getting the output from the other side of the map or where. It's always one of those plays where it's like, when your team isn't getting kills and you're just sort of making these plays, you do sort of end up getting kills, where if your team actually is frying, you end up like 7-5 at the end of the game. We've not done anything.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like I also want to make another note. I watched Eternal Fire games, but I didn't like notarize this in my head. But it's not Major, it's Madger.
I'm just gonna call him Major.
Okay. I'm good for that. Yeah, no, so Na'Vi won this game, like the Inferno felt less close than Mirage did. Yeah. But that Mirage was, I mean, it was such a fucking insane Mirage, too, because it was like, I think Eternal Fire went up, we're down 9-3 at the half, and then brought it all the way back, and it was like, you started to see signs of hope.
It was like 12-10, and they went like 9, they were like...
Yeah, fried. And they had a match point, too. Like, it was, that Mirage was really, really close.
I think once they didn't win that, they were never going to win, and that kind of broke them.
And then Mao's G2 was the last opening match, which had some other problems during it. But as a match, like this was kind of the Mao's is next up on the like we're going to be a really, really great team thing. But there is something to be said for Nico and Hunter.
Oh, dude, like I think trying to draw any conclusions from this game is a bit silly. Like they were,
I agree.
Mouse were clearly shook up from what happened, and like that game was in the balance, and then they ran on the stage, and Mouse just looked shell shocked. And I'm like, happens.
And like, no, I don't want to put like any like, oh, you shouldn't have been shocked. Any of us on that stage would have been fucking shell shocked after that. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
like,
but like. As well, I think they sort of weren't given they basically sort of suggested they weren't given the right information, and they were concerned that something else had happened than had actually happened, but I don't really know what they were getting at.
I don't know. All right. So semifinals, Vitality phase. I don't know what to say about this match. It felt very close from me watching it at home. But it also just didn't feel like a match until Inferno.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly how this game went. If I remember rightly, Vitality were trying to win without Zywoo really showing up.
Yeah.
Which always kind of impacts them quite badly.
Put the mic back on the desk. Stop holding it in your hand.
But then I can't lean back.
No, you were fine, but there's cable noise, man. Leave it there. Leave it there. It's what it felt like, and then Zywoo came alive towards the end, but it just didn't feel like it was the same thing. I don't know how to explain it.
Zywoo, no matter what they tell you, he does just do this in really big games sometimes. Like Majors and Kato, he just sometimes just bottles it, and it's what he did. He just bottled it. Like he wasn't good.
And I'm gonna be nothing was stopping Frozen this game. Regardless of Zywoo was playing at Zywoo levels, Frozen was a fucking machine this game.
Oh yeah, Frozen was like he was cooking, but like when you say Frozen was unstoppable, nothing was stopping him. The same has been said so many times of Zywoo when he actually shows up. And
yeah.
Zywoo actually can stop him if he shows up, but he just didn't. He just bowled it.
Navi against G2 was, well, it was Monazi trying to drag his team to a final, and no one else wanted to go.
Yeah, so this game annoyed me because people blamed the veto, people blamed Hoogsy, people blamed literally anything except Nico and Hunter, who were just quite clearly not on it. And I think...
Yeah.
You can talk about the veto as much as you want. Oh, they didn't pick Inferno when they should have done. Well, if you listen to Alexi B's interview after it, Alexi B says, we were really surprised they didn't pick Inferno, which translates to, we fucking prepared for Inferno. And we've seen Na'Vi play Inferno, and they're very, very good at it. I actually thought not picking it was quite... It's brave, but it's not a bad decision by any stretch of the imagination. Like, it's not a ridiculous decision.
Yeah.
Yes, G2 are really good at Inferno, but they're like...
So are Na'Vi.
Na'Vi's Ancient isn't that good, and G2 probably think, yeah, we... And also, it was Anubis they picked, right?
Yeah, they picked Anubis.
Yeah, which they would have won if Nico and Hunter hadn't fucking trolled a 2v1 for no reason against Alexi B at the end. Like, again, they lost that 13-11 or 12, or was it in overtime? I think it was in overtime.
16-13.
Yeah, they lost in overtime when Hunter genuinely straight up trolled a 1v1 against Alexi B. And you're trying to tell me this is the fault of anyone other than Hunter. They just win that game and they win the series 2-0 if Hunter doesn't just overpeak randomly in a 1v1 with 6 seconds on the bottom.
Yeah. There's a lot of overpeaking for a clutch in just in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, right? The pressure gets to you. But why are we blaming anyone other than Hunter? Hunter was the lowest fragger on the team. When you watched him, it was quite clear he wasn't taking duels with the conviction he normally does. He wasn't aiming like he normally does. And frankly, he hasn't been that good for a little while now either. He might have been the 13th best player of 2023. That's great. We're not in fucking 2023 anymore. He has not been good on CS2.
I was going to say, and for what it's worth, we're in a different game than half of 2023 was, right? Like,
yeah, and he's not been good on CS2. So why are we blaming Hooksy for this? Hooksy almost made a major final without Hunter or Nico ever showing up. You could talk, I mean, Monacy was ridiculous. Like, Monacy not winning that game is a tragedy. Because
or Monacy, let's be very clear.
Yeah, Monacy, no, like you could almost go to Wonderful and be like, "Look, I know you're going to play in the major final, but can we just swap me for Monacy for a game? Like, he really deserves it." And he'd probably go, "Yeah, fair enough." Honestly, yeah, he was so good in that game. Definitely going to win a major at some point.
This team, and I want to be very clear. This is not a like negative towards the whole team. It feels like this team is a zombie. That once in a while remembers, like, think about you're playing like COD Zombies and you get a crawler. It feels like this team's a crawler 90% of the time, but once in a while,
they crawl into the nuke.
Yeah, exactly.
There's sort of rumors that G2 are willing to sell Nico and Hunter. If I'm any team with any money, I'm not buying them.
Hey, I think there's one team that would buy them.
Bleed?
The Falcons.
I think Bleed was probably more likely.
If the
convinced it's Hooksy's fault, let's see him on Bleed, shall we?
The Kassad connection, yeah.
Let's see.
All right, so we get to a FaZe Na'Vi final, which felt backwards. And let me explain to you why it felt backwards. The first map, Ancient, really tough, really close map. It felt like FaZe had about 5 chances of getting to the winning point. Brokey makes an incredible clutch, and then like 3 rounds later, absolutely flubs a clutch by overpeaking against JL. So Navi went ancient. We go to Mirage, which was an absolute dumpster fire for Navi.
Yeah,
like, Aze absolutely trounced them. And then we go to Inferno, which is our third map, best of three, on Inferno. And FaZe looked like they don't know how to ever play Inferno.
Do I, well, you remember when I've got a few points here to make. One, if you remember a minute ago, and people were having a go at GG for not picking Inferno into Na'Vi. That's why you don't.
Yeah.
Two, thought Inferno was always a banger third map in Grand Finals. That's just a lie. No, yep. It's just a lie.
I was, three, for what it's worth, I had overtime on Inferno related tweets in my drafts ready to fire off this. Like, for if, like, I was like, oh, it's Inferno, yeah. Best of three, grand final, last map. Yeah. I'm ready for it. Like, I was ready to do all the podcast promotion via this.
Dude, yeah, no, it's been a lie for ages. Ancient's is the real third good third map.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why this series felt backwards, right? Like, Ancient was the first map, and it was an excellent map. That would have been an excellent final map. Can we just flip Inferno Ancient? And just pretend canonically that Inferno was the first map of the series and Ancient was the final winning map.
But also, I don't know, man. I knew that game was over on the first gun round when Carrigan decided he was going to walk through a long smoke to his death on the T side. I was like, oh, you've run out of ideas and you've tried nothing.
On Inferno or Ancient?
On Inferno. I knew that series was over on the first gun round. Carrigan just walked through a long smoke to his death. I was like, you've run out of ideas and you haven't even tried anything yet.
Yeah, it felt like FaZe could never start anything on Inferno. I'm going to go look at the match page because I have a feeling I'm right, but I'm not sure that I'm right. But we'll find
out. I mean, Carrigan had no kills, which didn't help.
Yeah, Carrigan was
the longest time.
Full, like, killless up until like the second to last round. He got his first kill, which was an MP9 kill. It wasn't even like it wasn't. He didn't get an AK kill or anything. It was an MP9 kill at the end of the day, right?
It was very
ugly. So FaZe only won three rounds in the first half, and it was, I think, one of them was a pistol force buy. Another one was the round right after that Na'Vi just chose to save because they had so much fucking money, and why would you bother going for it? And then they won the last round of the half to bring him 9-3. And then Na'Vi, FaZe didn't stand a chance once Na'Vi hit the T side. It was really brutal. And
yeah, no, it was a complete stomp.
Yeah, not only was it a complete stomp, it wasn't fun to watch. And I mean that in like the nicest way, because I like truly enjoy watching Counter-Strike and stuff, but that Inferno, the second that FaZe got their, like, that Na'Vi won their first round after FaZe lost the two, the second that Na'Vi got back in the driver's seat, I was, they won. There was, it doesn't matter if FaZe won a run, just Na'Vi had something in them that was going to make them win this game, and it didn't look like it was going anywhere.
Well, it felt like if FaZe were going to win, then Carrigan could retire immediately. Like, on the stage, he could retire and go out with a fucking bang. But now he almost has to play for another 6 months.
Yeah.
You can't retire going 1-17 in a major final. You just can't do it.
And what makes it even worse is, like, I don't think Carrigan will get the opportunity to win a major on Danish soil again.
Oh, no, he definitely won't.
This was his one and only shot. Like, next major's in Shanghai. We already know that for certain. Next year, we don't know where the majors are. But
it won't be
like,
Denmark.
But it won't be Denmark. And now we're going pretty deep. So I don't know past that point.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's going to play past the end of this year.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple of notes for us to talk about very quickly from Richard Lewis. I have to find them. I don't know where they are. But so during the major finals, a bunch of interesting stuff happened, and right after, which is starting that PGL said, hey, we are coming back into Counter-Strike. We will have a circuit for 2025, 2026. That is post-Blast existing, right? And Star Ladder, almost immediately after, basically said the same thing. If you want to go look, Dust2 has a very excellent little chart, timeline chart thing of 2025. Basically shows zero off time other than right after the majors, which for viewers, great. Excellent. There will be Counter-Strike always. Richard Lewis came out, though. He did his little debrief. Basically, he said that he would like to be back for PGL once PGL starts their stuff back. I'd be happy to see that. Every time in between PGL majors, I always go, damn, I'm like, whatever, on Richard Lewis. He's kind of all over the place. And then he goes and hosts a desk, and I go, holy fuck, why can't he be the desk host at every major? And that's not against any other desk host. Yeah. Just Richard Lewis does bring something.
Oh, yeah, no, he's excellent. He's an excellent, excellent desk host.
And for what it's worth, he was with Shox on this, and Shox is fucking incredible, and I still wish I had Richard.
I do think PGL will make Richard Lewis their sort of main guy. Because a lot of the talent has already got, like the battle lines have almost already been drawn.
Well, and that's...
Richard Lewis, one of the free ones.
I gotta say, that's the thing with Hugo and Harry, too, is it looks like PGL wants them to be their casters, the same way Scrawny and Launders are for Blast, and Sponge and Machine are for ESL.
Yeah.
I'm in for it. I wonder what talent Starladder will get, because...
Well, Frankie Ward wants to come back.
I saw that.
Friend of the newsletter, Frankie.
Yeah. I had put a tweet out the other day that we are in a golden era of Counter-Strike talent, that we get legitimately upset when certain talent isn't at a tournament, because there is literally just not enough spots at a given tournament to fill that many. I'm very happy. Like, you can turn on basically any stream at this point, and there will be good casting, above average observing if you look through FPS games. Yeah. And if there's a desk or a host, they're generally knowledgeable and pretty good about it. Like, we're in an excellent age for it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see Vince and Blair back as a casting duo. Obviously, Vince doesn't cast much anymore with the ESL thing. Always like those two as a casting duo.
We haven't talked about Anders and Henry yet, or Moses. Yeah. And I think he's casting with Alan now. Or
I don't know exactly.
I don't remember who's cast one, but
I'm not sure. I can't remember who Neokai. I mean, Neokai kind of casts with a lot of different people. He's also very good. B-Dog and Lucy as well.
Yeah, but like, point is, we go through the names, and there's just like we've got plenty. The other thing that Richard Lewis,
bring back Pansy as well while we're at it.
I would personally pay so much money to bring Pansy back to Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I always like Panzer. Always like Panzer.
So, other thing Richard Lewis went out and said was that he hinted that the RMRs could be gone in 2025, that instead they would be replaced with the Valve regional ranking system thing, and that basically Valve would take however many spots you're supposed to get at the major from their rankings, and that's who gets invited.
I don't like this. I don't like it.
I also understand that
RMR shouldn't be the most important event of the year.
Well, not only that, but I think we look at it and go, Valve's regional major rankings just have not felt correct. They've definitely gotten better than when they first came out. Yeah. But they don't feel like they are the best rankings yet. And on top of that, I really enjoy watching the RMRs.
RMRs are fun, dude. Yeah.
But on the other hand, if we're just going to have a tournament basically every weekend from a different, like, broadcasting a different TO, and my hope is that we don't have the same cookie cutter tournament from every single fucking TO.
Yeah.
That someone innovates somewhere along the line. I'm kind of okay with losing the RMR. Like, we don't get a static. Like, we don't get into the breach. We don't get any of those, like, these tier 2 orgs who fight their way through the RMRs, and that does really suck.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, for a team to actually get above these sort of teams in the ranking, they have to be really consistently good, because there will still be teams invited to close qualifiers, straight up invited to events. Like, it's going to be really, really hard for a big team who isn't playing well to actually fall out of contention, because they're still going to be getting invites.
Yeah. Okay.
The RMR's exposed.
That's going to end our major coverage. But before we go, because not much more has happened. There's a couple of small...
There's roster stuff, yeah.
There's some roster stuff that's happened, but I expect that we're going to get a lot more of that in the next week or two.
Yeah, we can do it all in one go.
The only... The big roster move that I'd say ahead of time is the Bigatron roster, which is one of my favorite things. Have you looked at the Bigatron roster at all?
No.
So
it's not what I thought you were going to say either.
No,
at all.
They're joining Counter-Strike by signing Bentet. Waste of Ammo.
Come on!
Derek, who used to play on Mag as well.
With Waste of,
Yep. Nero, not the Nero that we know. Nero from Rocket in North America. And Aelf, also from Rocket in North America, to put together a team for the Shanghai Major.
That's insane. That's one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Well, the most insane thing I actually think is that Bentet went to this roster of, what is this, two Indonesian players, a Filipino, and two American players from NKT. Which had like Exigen,
which was also insane.
Which was also insane.
I mean, at least all of these people are like, speak English as either like as a main language.
Yeah,
I think the actual primary language of the Philippines is, if I'm not,
I think it's English, or it's...
it might be English. They speak a lot of Spanish out there.
Yeah,
but
Derek was already playing. Derek was already playing on the
Tagalog. Is Tagalog Filipino?
That could be it.
I'm gonna have to
good.
This
I'm good with maps, not languages. But he's already been playing with the Indonesian team with Mag, so I'm not as worried.
Tagalog is spoken in the Philippines.
What was your roster move to talk about?
Well, I thought Nip signing Wrinkle was the big one.
Oh yeah, I guess we could talk about that one. I don't want to talk about Nip ever, but
we could maybe talk about it more. Like, we could do it all in one go if you'd prefer to do that.
I was gonna say, I think the thing is Nip is going to continue to do things, so I want to talk about Nip as a group.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I listened to a podcast recently, a non-Counter-Strike related podcast by Darcy Carden, who was Janet on The Good Place.
Very American name.
It's D, I don't know what the official term is, but it's like an apostrophe, but in a name.
I know what you mean.
Apostrophe, Arcy, A-R-C-Y, Carden.
You wouldn't get away with it in any other country.
No. The only way I can refer to that is from the psych, from Dule Hill and Psych saying comment to the top, which is definitely not the correct term from that, but excellent.
No.
She hosts a podcast called WikiHole. And basically the entire point is, you know, when you go on Wikipedia and you read something and then you click onto something and it's tangentially. And then you keep going and you're down like this.
I know this game. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a whole game about it called the Wikipedia game. And because of Na'Vi winning the major, and I was basically thinking, wow, none of these players, with the exception of Bit, started their career on Na'Vi. So I wonder what weird connections there are. So I involved one of our social media managers, Ben, and I had him make this. So I have not looked at this other than the page I'm looking at right now, which has no answers. And what we are going to do is, we've been given two players, and we need to connect
them by clicking on things.
Correct. Right. So I have however many players Ben has determined it takes to get from player A to player B. And he's also noted for one of these that there is some possible answers in here. And there's additional possible answers that we may know that he didn't find.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to do this together. I have not looked at any of the answers. I just have the sheet in front of me. He did this as questions on one sheet, answers on the other sheet, and that I can easily get to the two.
Okay.
So the first, so the example that I gave him, so that way we're all on the same page here, is Alexi B to Twists, which you could go Alexi B to Alu to Rain to Twists.
Okay.
Just so we're all on the same page. So the first one is JL to Shox.
As in the French player?
As in the French player.
Okay.
Now in my head, the first thing I think of is Fragadelphia 17, where they both played. But that doesn't really help.
No, I'm trying to think.
JL hasn't played with that many people.
Oh, no. Shox played on Did Shox play on Apex?
Shox did play on Apex. I know that for certain. So wouldn't it just be JL to take him to Shox?
Yeah, or like JL Apex to Shox. I don't know how you're playing the exact
thing. Okay, Ben put that there were six total players here. So the answer, JL, he put JL to Jacob to Carrigan to JDM to Allege to Shox. But I think you can just go Jacob to Shox. Unless...
At least you can click Jacob to Apex to Shox, if nothing else. Like,
yeah. I'm curious to see, was that part of the weird Jacob to Extremum time?
Oh, it could have been, yeah. I don't know exactly who Shox played with.
So Shox played with... Actually, Shox and JL played together.
Well, they did.
Yeah, they just played together for like a month and a half. Literally the entire time Shox was on the roster, JL was there. Okay.
Okay, well, that one's easy enough.
Excellent. Cypher to Zeus. This is considerably harder.
That
Cypher's hard. Played for like one team.
So, all right. Who is he on at Bleed / TSM? There's got to be somebody useful there.
Well, I think a lot of them were like new players, but Hampus is the one that jumps to mind quickly for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure how useful Hampus is.
He's well, Hampus can get us. Hampus can get us to Hedtrick.
Oh,
so we can go Hampus.
That's a good thing.
So Cypher to Hampus to Hedtrick.
Cypher to Hampus to Hedtrick. Hedtrick to.
There's got to be like a Na'Vi Academy.
I was going to say Monacy to Bit. You don't need Monacy.
You can just go straight to Bit.
Did Hedtrick and Bit play together?
I would assume on Na'Vi.
I think they did. I think
Academy.
Yeah, and then to Bit.
Simple Bit to
Simple, Simple to Zeus. I think so, yeah.
That was not the shortest path.
Was it not?
Cypher to Inters to Hobbit to Zeus.
Inters.
I forgot about Hobbit and Zeus. My head was so focused on Zeus on Na'Vi that I forgot Zeus won a major with Gambit.
Well, I was thinking like a Dren not useful. Hobbit. I even thought Hobbit, but I completely forgot about Inters. That's insane.
We're not going to get a lot of these in the shortest possible. Okay, Tabzin to Get Right, which just sounds like it should just be one jump, but I guarantee it's not.
Yeah.
Because Tabzin and Get Right both played for very nationalized teams.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? You've got to go through...
I feel like... Ooh, I wonder if Gob B is a help here. Because Gob B didn't always play for...
Well, Tabson played for NRG, but I don't know who he played with on NRG.
Oh, God, I couldn't even begin to help there. That was like probably Fugly is someone, but I don't even know where we could go from that.
No.
But I think if you go Gob B, Gob B played on the Mouse Sports team to start, right?
Oh, Tabson was on Mouse.
Oh, okay, so we can go Tabson. Was Chris J on the...
Think he played with Chris J. I think he played with Chris J, Dennis, and Spidey.
Okay, but here's the thing. Chris J has played with basically everyone ever on Mouse Sports, so I feel like...
So you can go Chris J to, like...
Who, though? I'm trying to think of players who have played with... Get Right has played for two teams ever.
Well, okay? I was thinking that Brolan's currently on Mouse, but I don't think Chris J has played with anyone who's currently on Mouse.
No. The current Mouse and the Chris J Mouse are two different Mouses.
So unless you go Chris J to shit.
I'm trying to work my way back here from Get Right too. Because like Get Right has only played with a certain amount of people. Did Exist ever play on Mouse?
No, I don't think so.
What's the
feels like he should have done, but I don't think
But a lot of those players on the NIP team. Oh wait, we can go Alu. Get Right played with Alu.
Alu played with Sonny.
Alu played with Sonny. Sonny played with
Who played with Tabson.
Okay. There's a different solution here, though. I'm pretty sure that one's right. Tabson to Smuya.
Right.
To Brolan. To Plopsky. To Get Right.
So he had the same idea to go to Brolan as I did.
Okay. All right. We've got two more.
Yeah.
I think this one is easy, but I'm not sure about timelines here, so... Okay. Device to Cold Zera, five players, and player two has two possible answers. Has been device, noted in it.
Device to Cold Zera. So Cold Zera played on FaZe, but he not
oh,
arrogant.
I was, No. So my get out of device card, I think right now, is going to be BlameF. Because from BlameF, we can go to
Shazam.
Oh. Okay, so BlameF, we can go to JKS.
Oh. And then we
can
go to...
So this one's really long, but you can go JKS, Nifty... Nifty
no,
to like
this is too long.
No, this is way too long. But you go Nifty to like any amount of North American players to Stewie to Coldzera, and that would technically work. But it's like eight or nine.
The Coldzera played on Complexity.
Did he really?
Did I make this up?
I thought he only stood in on phase.
Did I make up Coldzera playing for Complexity? I might have completely made this up.
That would be a hilarious timeline if you just made this up.
I want to look it up, but it might. That's kind of cheating. Did he not stand in for Complexity and get like 30-0'd?
No, I thought that was FaZe. I thought it's time because he wasn't an actual FaZe member.
Maybe it was just FaZe. I completely made this up.
The problem is both of these players are so like country locked.
Yeah, but well, no, device.
Ooh, wait.
NIP.
I was gonna say, what about the NIP team? But I don't know if the NIP team really helps.
I think you go like he was Coldzera kind of, played on phase like that. He must have played on phase with somebody who's intercepted with device at some point.
He wouldn't have played with Carrigan, but we can go Coldzera to someone on phase to Carrigan.
Who was on that team? Nico was on that team.
Yeah, so Nico and Carrigan played together. You could literally go Coldzera.
Oh, device, Nico. Carrigan, Nico, yeah. Coldzera. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that wasn't the one here. I was on more of the right path as per what was put here, which is device to Cajun or Config. To Stanislaw from Optic.
I said Shazam. Stanislaw was on that team.
To Tarek to Coldzera.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's kind of...
I like that one,
kind
too.
Kind of
All right.
Elegant.
And the last one we've got here, which is Tarek to JW.
Tarek to JW.
Oh, this includes the cursed fucking Cloud9 team. I'm sure of it. Because we can go JW to Flusha and get to NA.
Yes. Who was on
wait,
that
can we go cross? Wait, hold on. Can we go cross game here? Because I can do it in three with cross game.
That's cheating. That's got
to
be cheating.
We can go Tarek to Flusha.
Golden as well also played on that team.
Okay, so Tarek to Zelsys while playing in Valorant. And then also Zelsys played for Cloud9 on that Flusha team. So Flusha.
Who else was on that curse team?
It was Tens was there for a minute. Zelsys was there. Kiyoshima was there.
Yeah.
Well, Golden was there. Wait, isn't Golden on Eyeballers like right now as of like 3 days ago?
Yeah. But like Tarek wasn't on that team is the problem. Was Rush on there who Tarek played?
Well, yeah, no, Rush or Automatic were on there for a bit. So we can go Tarek to Automatic to Flusha. I think actually Flusha and Automatic played together on that team.
Yeah, I think so.
Automatic was there for a while. Tarek to Automatic to Flusha.
Automatic or Golden to JW.
Yeah. So oh, goodness, great. Okay, so there's an answer here that's different than what we got, and there's also a bonus question.
Okay.
In the answer. So it's Tarek to Coldzera from MIBR to Olaf when they played on phase together to JW.
Oh, okay.
Which is also
that's
cursed.
Also works.
That's also cursed. Cursed line.
Yeah.
Bonus question, what do all of these players have in common?
All of which players?
Tarek, Coldzera, Olaf Meister, and JW.
Tarek, Coldzera, Olaf Meister, and JW. Are they all major MVPs?
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, that's been our game. I have no clue if we'll ever do this again, but this is an excellent game.
That's the thing I always think of when I think of Tarek, is that he's a major MVP. Genuinely.
Yeah, I didn't think JW was a major MVP.
Yeah.
Just in my head. The Fnatic team.
Before Olaf joined Fnatic.
I do need to note quickly, would our Tarek to Flusha thing have worked? Because I kind of need to know this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not actually certain that's correct.
I'm not sure some of what we said was right, but yeah. I'm going to take it as canon, and the YouTube comments, which are generally pretty good at correcting me, will correct me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be it from us for this episode. If you enjoyed the game, please let us know, because I will send Ben to make more games. But other than that, we'll be back again next week. I don't know what we're going to talk about, because there's nothing going on roster this moves. Coming week.
We got roster moves.
I am Chengdu starts before on Monday, so we'll have a little bit of that to talk about. But other than that, we'll see you all again next week. You can find us on Twitter at LoganRamhap, at AZSK, and at ReTLDR. Go get our mag on the TLDR shop. Bye.